Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Richard Shawright.
Yeah, would you believe it? Mark Wilson not here this week. Phil Kaplan also not here because it's everyone's end of season dues, it seems, today. But sadly, myself and Matt Horton and Gary Scove have not been invited to any of these parties. I think there's, as much as you were upset last week, Gary, about being told off or being unnamed on television, I think this is worse.
Well,
no free parties.
Well, I guess, to be honest with some of the folks, well, Phil Kaplan's at the Rhinos and Matt Wilson, he's emceeing the Huddersfield Giants. I'm surprised they're not here, to be honest with you, because they're in the season function. Should have been in April, shouldn't they, to be honest with you?
June. Be generous, yeah.
All right, okay. Yeah. Well, so I'm surprised they're not here this end of the season. But anyway, no, the two lads aren't here, but we'll have a great show, Rich. Don't worry about that. We'll have a good show.
Oh, of course we will. We've got plenty. Matt, how are you?
I'm good, Rich, thanks.
You
just about recovered from
one great game and another interesting one yesterday.
Yes. Recovered from being at Widnes yesterday, which wasn't, which was low on quality and high on.
Yeah, Matt, can I just ask you about that Widnes game? So Widnes and St. Helens, forget about the scoreline, right? And there were two players
what
sent
happened?
Off, Kevin Brown and Patrick Arvan. How come a standoff and a winger have been sent off? What were the forwards doing then? Nothing? Why were they sent off?
The forwards were in there. To be fair, I've seen the Brown incident again and he got everything he deserved. Because he's clearly stuck the nut on Greenwood.
All right, okay.
On the footage.
Right.
Greenwood's responded, as I think he's entitled to after being headbutted.
Right.
But I don't know why Patrick Arvan's been sent off. He's coming charging in, probably playing peacemaker.
So the initial final between Greenwood and Brown, Kevin Brown.
Yeah,
right, okay.
And it was in the corner near Patrick Arvan's wing.
Right.
So Patrick Arvan's come steaming in to basically get involved in.
Did any St. Helens players get Simbin or anything? Or
yeah,
no?
Greenwood.
Oh, he got Simbin, did he?
Greenwood, and he's been charged grade A as well, but he's got an early guilty plea available, so he'll be fine for next weekend. Brown's been charged grade A. He's not got an early guilty plea, so tea and biscuits tomorrow night, and he will probably get the one match ban.
So Arvan got sent off worried just throwing punches?
I don't know if Arvan's been charged.
Yeah, I found it interesting when I read it, and I said, yeah, two players sent off Kevin Brown and Patrick Arvan. I thought, well, if it was a 26-man brawl, everybody's got him. Where were the forwards? But anyway, that's that one. That's that one then.
So that was
26 man's a bit over-dramatic as well. I don't think he got any more than 14 at one stage.
Yeah, well, I think Dennis Best as well said, he said there's plenty of handbags. Yeah, he said so, but he said it must have been handbags anyway, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Dennis was on his way down from his position on the gantry, so.
And the game itself then, what was that like? Pretty ordinary, was it?
Pretty ordinary, yeah. when Saints got 12-0 up after 14 minutes, it could have been a case of sit back and enjoy the ride, but Widnes got back into it, to be fair to him. Showed a bit of spirit. Patrick Arvan got in at the corner just before half time, and if Widnes had scored first in the second half after they'd had any idea on attack to try and break down the Saints' defence, got it back to 16-8, 16-10, it would have been game on, but Saints never really looked in danger all afternoon.
And they've got a big game this week against Wakefield on Friday, which no one's going to be there. No media are going to be at that game.
I think everybody's going to be at the Kirkham on Friday.
I'm going. Are you going to Hull on Friday?
Yeah, I'll be there Friday.
Yeah, well, I'll be there.
So are you going with that game as well then, Kieran? Did you see much of it? What does he say after the game at this moment in time? He just seems happy. And
nothing, because Jamal O'Lacy did the press conference.
All right.
So,
what was all that about then?
I don't know. Sometimes Kieran has a habit of sending the assistant coach in to give him that little bit of experience of dealing with the pressure.
Sean
Owens
is assistant.
Yeah, but there's Jamal and Sean, but he just sends somebody else in for a change.
I guess the question, would you send Sean Long out to do a press conference?
No, simple as that.
There you go then. That's that question. Well, that is Widnes versus St. Helens, October. Let's talk about the other game, which you were at, Matt, on Friday, because it was the biggest game of the weekend, and it was actually very good. Warrington versus Wigan, the saying goodbye to the League Leaders' Shield shot again, which we all love. And Wigan, from nowhere, with 12 men, beat the Warrington Wolves. You were very upset, though, weren't you?
Yeah, I was very disappointed. The video referee decision near the end, I still don't think it's right. People can show me as many pictures as they like and say there's daylight between his hand and the sideline and things like that, but on the look I got on the screen on Friday night, I was absolutely stunned it got turned over. But Warrington are getting a bit of a habit of letting games slip in the last 20 minutes now, aren't they? They did it at Wembley in the cup final. They did it on Friday night against 12 men. Ben Flower, we hasten to add, has been charged grade C. So that's the lower end of what it could have been. It was potentially C2E, the banding. So it's reckless, grade C, so it's reckless striking with the elbow. So that carries 2 to 3 matches, given his previous, and the fact he somehow managed to get off a ban earlier in the year, means I don't think he may be back for the grand final if he gets the lower end of the punishment range.
Mm. Tell you what as well, man, you know with Warrington, and I don't know if you picked up on it, but I certainly picked up on it, and do you know when they score a try, how long do they celebrate for? It seems to take them an age to get back where they should be. There's all the high fives. Everybody's jumping all over each other. Surely, that's a point for the concentration level. And I know it's Tony Smith picks up on it as well a little bit. And you can quite you can only win a game once. But yeah. Sure, have you not noticed?
No, I haven't noticed.
What Warrington do? It seems to take forever. So from a concentration point of view, they're thinking, okay, then shake the hands, get back, we get ready for it. And this is what we got. You know, this is where we're going again.
Never happened in your day, did it?
Well,
I've got to be honest, Scott. It's something I've never ever noticed.
You noticed it with Warrington.
I've seen every game Warrington played.
In last year's semi-final against Ilkeston Rovers, it took them 3 minutes to stop celebrating. And OKR looked and said, right, OK, you reckon you've won this semi-final, do you? You have a look. You have a look at this, because it's a big game this week, and how long it takes them to stop celebrating when they score a try. And surely that's got an influence on the concentration. But boy, oh boy, when we look at that, and I say we Ben Flower being sent off, and was it a game changer? Yes, it was, because Wigan, for some reason, they decided to say, well, OK, we've got plan A. We've got plan A. We stick to plan A. We stick to plan A. Then all of a sudden the player says, oh no, we might try this plan B. And I tell you what, did this plan B come up? Because that Wigan backline, it's not a bad backline to be honest with you, but it's not used often enough, is it? And it's not being used, you know, 40, 50, 60 metres out. But, okay, Mike Smith may not be the quickest number 7, but he can still get him around the park. His kicking game's pretty good. We know what George Williams brings, but that backline has got plenty of pace. And given the opportunities to score tries, they will score tries. And it was a pleasure to see Wigan, them that last 18 minutes. They were absolutely outstanding. And do you know what? When I'm looking at Sean in the stands, I bet Sean were thinking, what are we doing here going from plan A? We don't play like this, but I reckon the players themselves took on the responsibility to go away from what they normally do. We all know the structured, but I tell you what, were they impressive, and if they play anything like that in the next 3 games coming up, I tell you what, there's only one team picking up the Grand Final trophy, and that's Wigan.
Well, I know we said Wigan have been, you know, boring, and they have been, but when they play, they're a good thing to watch.
Oh, well, as I say, when you look at that black, that back line, you know, the pace in it, they've got plenty of pace, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, and I say they took the opportunities. Well, I can understand where you're coming from, with Taney, and we know at times it gets wrong and all this sort of thing, but you give them half an opportunity and they will score long distance tries.
So, Warrington still top, obviously going into that game on Friday night. So, how was Taney after that game, Matt Hudley? You spoke to him, mate. I guess when you're in control so much, and you know they showed the league leadership being put away on TV, which is always funny, and I know the Warrington fans were probably upset about it.
Why didn't they learn the lesson from us?
That night the boot was on the other foot because Saints were playing Warrington, yeah. And Warrington went there and spoiled the end of season party and everything else.
But why didn't the NFL learn the lesson?
I don't know.
Because everyone at home thinks it's funny.
Let's just go back to...
it's embarrassing at times, isn't it? It packs it up as if to say, what have I brought it for in the first place?
Just want to go back quickly to the witness game. Patrick Arbano, who got sent off, hasn't even been charged. So... work that one out.
Well, you've just said, you don't even know what's been set up for.
No.
Never mind, you know, rightly so.
Being Patrick Arvan is now a red card offence, apparently.
I think that's the second time James Childs sent him off this season as well. You know, remember the Wakefield game earlier on in the year? Yeah.
The battle of the security state?
Yes.
I'm just looking at Dennis's ear as well. Betts reveals his frustration, and certainly with the referee, was he pretty poor, was he?
Yeah, he said there were 3 poor performances yesterday.
Yeah. I've just got this as well, so...
And that's all
he
said.
Was he poor again, was he, James Childs?
Yeah. We just whistle up.
In every way, was he?
Control of the game.
Yeah.
Frustrates people with decisions all the time, and Dennis obviously didn't want to go into it too much, but he said plenty off camera to one of our friends from Them Who We Don't Mention. So
is this the most popular phrase in press conferences now? Is I don't want to talk about the referee because I'll get fined.
Yeah,
Lee Radford said that on Thursday as well. Wyton still top. Hull second in the table with that win over Wakefield on Thursday. Another game where the referee and video referee were under scrutiny from both coaches.
I think
after the game,
I vented on Twitter on Thursday night about that video referee decision. I also vented about the Lewis Tierney one on Friday. And Tony Smith, somebody asked Tony Smith, what did you think of the video referee decision? And he said, I don't know. I didn't watch it. I went and made a cup of tea while it was happening. Said I lost interest. In fact, I had a sleep as well.
Tony's like me. He wants a video referee scrapping. And I agree. After
this weekend, what is the point?
Mm.
What good is it to Michael Carter that the video referee from Thursday night phones him up on Friday morning and
apologises.
Hiya, Michael. How are you? Oh, just want to tell you I'm really sorry I got that wrong last night.
Cost him 2 points.
Stephen mentioned that on Twitter with Bill Tupu's try being ruled out for... Was it... Liam Finn being offside or something?
Yes, sir, Liam Finn was offside, but it was Hawley, wasn't
Hawley
it?
Craig Hall put him onside.
Put the bomb up and put him onside. He just totally got it wrong, I agree with Tony Smith, and he said it for the last 2 years now, and I agree totally. Get shut of the video referee. It's serving no purpose whatsoever.
At RL on RY, if you want to get us on the Twitter, by the way. First one's coming from Andy King. Rumour has it that Warrington have lost both back rowers for the rest of the season. I know Ben Curry's been for a scan today. Jack Hughes would be news to me.
A big blow. How's Sandow? Is he going to play again this season?
Don't know.
What's he done?
He did a knee in the cup final.
Oh, right,
but
okay.
Fair play to Declan Patton.
Oh,
he's
playing well.
And played really well.
I like Declan Patton. Yeah, I like
since
him.
Kurt Gidley... had his goal-kicking problems at Wembley.
Mm.
Funnily, in the warm-up on Friday night, he couldn't hit the proverbial cow's backside with the banjo. Warming up on Friday night, Kurt Gidley, and then Declan Patton got the kicking duties. So...
He's a good player, him, Declan Patton.
One that's benefited from having a reserve team.
Absolutely, and one thing for sure, he's not frightened to boss him around the field and that sort of thing. Yeah, I like him. Yeah, I do indeed.
Is that win for Hull on Wakefield is more about getting the win than the performance, because the performance wasn't that great, and Mark Snead again, yeah.
Ordinary.
Oh. Did he play? I just said that to the wife when she got home.
Well, I tell you what, again, do you know, on three occasions, right, he made just a little step back inside and he could have passed the ball into a better player, the whole player supporting him. What did he go and do? He just kicked it. He just kicked it for no reason. There's no purpose there whatsoever. But one thing for Hull on, Thursday night, certainly, and Lee Radford at half-time, by all accounts, gave him the round of the kicks, and rightly so, because, I think overall the 80-minute performance was quite simple. There was no purpose in there. The forwards wasn't ripping in. There wasn't any organisation, creativeness, from the half-backs. But they got the win. A win's a win. But now, for Hull FC, the honeymoon period has finished. Wembley's 3 weeks down the track. It's gone.
Done.
This now is the business end of the season. 80 minutes away from winning the league leadership for the first time since Super League started in 96. And then 80 minutes away from Old Trafford. And if they get there, then who knows what might happen now. But this now, honeymoon period's finished. And this now is the business end for the Black and Whites.
Perhaps the most disappointing thing about Thursday's game was the attendance, because if that game had been played on a Sunday,
it would have doubled it. It would have been 6,000.
Was it like the Serengeti on the Western Terrace? Just zebras everywhere.
Yeah, 3,400 for Thursday night, which, fair play to those who made the trip from Hull.
But on a Sunday, there'd have been 6,000 there, wouldn't there? Easy.
Again, did he have to be on TV?
No, he didn't. No, well, what purpose did it serve being on television?
I think it was just absolutely to get Wakefield nothing. On, I don't know.
I think it was to get Wakefield on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not bothered. I've seen enough about Wakefield.
Michael Carter and the coach of the... the players wouldn't have been bothered being on television, would they? No way, mate. It's cost them a fortune. Steve Gill was saying it cost them an absolute fortune. Not just coming through the turnstiles, but as we know, with beer sales and Chris sales and what have you.
Craig Hall, though, looked good, so can't wait to see him.
But why has he waited till his final game in a Wakefield shirt to turn up?
Well, because he was playing in the halves. He didn't want to play anywhere else. This is what they were saying afterwards when he was Chris Chess in a press conference. He wanted to play in the halves. And... at Wakefield, Jacob Miller and Liam Finn are better in the half than he is. So, c'est la vie. Craig Hall goes to Toronto and has a nice challenge over there.
Michael Blair Myers, all three TV games are excellent quality. I'll give you two out of three.
He's talking about Brisbane versus North Queensland.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. I'm going to say it wasn't Hull Wakefield on Thursday night.
No, I have not seen Salford London because I was out and about on Saturday. So I haven't
You're
seen that game.
Watching...
I was watching non-league football.
Not league football.
But We'll jump into the qualifiers in a minute. Let's talk a bit more about Hull. And obviously with that win, they go into this game against Warrington at home. Winner takes all. Winner gets the league leadership. No helicopter needed. Unless there's some kind of draw and Wigan beat Catalans by 200 points.
Yeah, no, there's no helicopter need. But looking at the way Matt's just saying there, if Jack Hughes is out and obviously Ben Curry's second row is huge blows. And I say, obviously, Sandal, but Declan Patton's doing okay there. So I'm not really too worried about that, to be honest with you. But certainly, they've been in great form this year of the two back rowers in Hughes and Ben Curry. And, you know, they're both try scorers. They're both match winners, aren't they, for Warrington? So it's quite simple. If he'll turn up, if he'll get back to what they've been doing all season, finding a way to win, the forwards ripping in, Sneed getting around the park. He won't do it with his ball skills and creativity because he hasn't got that with ball in hand. But if he gets him around the park in good field position with a quality kicking game, and then Hull can force mistakes of Warrington, because Warrington, you know, they won't play any different. They will look to play an expansive game. That's what they're all about, and they're great to see. And as I say, with Casford, they're the best team to watch in Super League by far. But if Hull get back to what they can do and what they've done all season, and I say certainly leading up to Wembley and at Wembley, then Hull will lift the league leader shield for the first time. I have no doubt about that.
We all thought it was going to be a high-scoring game at Wembley, and as it turned out, it wasn't. So I guess, are we going to see a repeat of that kind of game on Friday night at Hull? Or is the fact that it is a home game going to be making a big difference?
I think home advantage is a big thing. The East Stand at the KCOM was sold out by Sunday night, so there's going to be a massive crowd. Warrington, the owner Simon Moran's led three buses on, not three, three buses, so, and apparently they're going to be looking to take in about 3,000 fans over Warrington on Friday night,
right,
so it should
crowd.
Be rocking inside the KCOM Stadium on Friday night. It just depends now, though, if they take the decision to open the rest of the North Stand, which they don't normally do unless it's Hull Kingston Rovers in town, so they could be looking at a significant
turn on
Friday
night. I'll tell you what, you know, it's going to be a big call. I hate talking about officials. Who's going to be the referee and who's going to be the video referee? Because they're under pressure. They are under pressure, the officials, whether they like it or not. They are under pressure because they're not doing the job what they should be doing. It's as simple as that. And that's been, you know, officiating properly. You know, the missive. Everybody could see that on Thursday night. Everybody could see at times, you know, we turn in, that's debatable. But they're just getting them wrong. So I tell you what, whoever the referees are and the video to referee on Friday night, that's going to be a bit of pressure.
Yeah, but video refereeing should be the easiest job in the world.
You would think so.
You've got a nice big HD telly in front
you
of you.
You would think so.
You sat there with a brew, your feet
and
up on a chair.
And they look at it five or six times, and the more they slow it down, you think, yes.
And then they still don't get it right.
Exactly. So that's going to be a big call, however the officials are on Friday night. It is.
I wouldn't want to spec. There's no been, like last year, everybody knew Ben Thaler at this time of the year was the standout official. Mm. And to be fair, Rob Hicks was pretty close to him. They got the semi-finals last year. This year, there isn't a standout official at the moment. Gareth Ewer got the cup final, deserved for me.
Mm.
I think
I agree.
Every time I've seen him, he's done good. There could be every chance Gareth gets that game again on Friday night. But who would come after that? Is it Ben Thaler? Chris Campbell's not experienced enough. Jack Smith, who's done all right, probably isn't experienced enough for a big game like that. I think they'll take the safe option on Friday and stick Thaler in charge.
Well, we'll look forward to the RFL announcing that tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And everyone will go on Twitter and go, ooh.
Oh, Remy, it's rubbish.
It's true, though, isn't it? I mean,
Well, that's why we said this before. Why do they announce it? Why do they bother? Making a secret.
To go back to Warrington again, if Ben Curry is missing 17 tries in Super League this season, joint top scorer with Ryan Atkins.
Is it serious for him? Is it knee? Because he looked it when he did it.
And he looked to Tony said it was something, a meniscus-type injury, and obviously the scans today, so we just have to wait and see, I presume. Mm. I don't know when.
Yeah, he looked it, certainly, his ankle just seemed to disappear in the turf, and you could see, you know, when he was going over, it was a knee problem, but let's hope, because, and I say, he certainly will be in the England side, and he will certainly be in the squad for the Four Nations, that's for sure, so let's hope it's not too bad for Ben Curry, but also too Jack Hughes, a big loss, Matt, for Warrington.
If both have gone, then I don't know. I don't know who they'd bring in. Benjamin Julian.
Because Westwood's gone, isn't it? So that's a back row gone.
Benjamin Julian, the Frenchman, could be one to come in. Would they try risking Toby King in the back row because he could possibly get away with playing Toby King in the back row, which then brings Reece Evans into the centre. Do you bring back Tom Lynham? Do you bring back Kevin Penny? I would say, given the
you
team
bring
that
Lynham
went to
because he's not played for weeks, has he? You won't
well,
bring Lynham back.
Given the team that went to Catalan after the cup final, you'd think it'd be Kenny who'd get the next shout. Kevin Penny who'd get the next shout at the moment.
Looking forward to that one. So it's always nice, and this was the thing with the Wigan Warrington game on Friday. When games have something on them, they tend to be that bit better, because at least you know there's going to be some drama there. The teams know they have to give 100%, otherwise they're going to go home without the points. And it was Warrington without the points on Friday, Hull with the points on Thursday. They meet live on Radio Yorkshire this Friday night, live from 7 o'clock at the KCOM Stadium, where pretty much everyone will be. Every single media outlet will be there, and every other game on Friday, Wigan and Catalan, Saints and Wakefield, there'll be no one there. Just tumbleweed.
Well, there'll be at least a couple of people at Wigan.
But apart from those. And at St Helens, but apart from those.
Because, I'll tell you what as well, whoever loses on Friday night between Warrington and Hull, they're going to finish third. Because Wigan will batter Catalan, the way they're going, so it's interesting, isn't it, they're going to finish third, so they're not, you know, one of the clubs, they're not what we was thinking 2-3 weeks ago, you know, these two are going to get the home draw. Now, one of them, and that's another incentive, isn't it, a huge incentive to get the home draw 18 minutes away from Old Trafford. So there's plenty at stake, come Friday night between these two.
Great performance from Castleford in the south of France to beat the Catalan Dragons. Now it's a complete mystery how Wakefield didn't beat them the week before. Comfortable performance on the scoreboard, 34-28. I guess it looks less comfortable because of those late tries from the Catalan Dragons, but brace of tries for Flynn and Crooks and for Denny Solomona. How many is it for Solomona now?
37.
So he still needs three more to break Sinjin Alice's record at Castleford. But that doesn't include the Challenge Cup, does it? He's got a couple of tries in the cup as
well. Yeah, that doesn't include the Challenge Cup, so he's still on for that.
I think he's on 39.
I tell you what, you would imagine on Sunday when Cass play Widnes, all the attack's going to be down the left-hand side, isn't it? They're just going to be, because they'll try and get him that three tries or four, whatever he's got to get, so Cass play Castleford. So Widnes defence on Widnes right-hand side is going to get plenty of defending to do come Sunday afternoon, that is for sure, from Dennis Solomona and Luke Gale and Luke Dawn. You know, his last home game for the club on Sunday, so it should be a great occasion down there on Sunday.
Yeah, we've got that game live on Radio Yorkshire on Sunday afternoon. Yeah, granted, it doesn't mean nothing in the grand scheme of things, but it should be a great game. It should be entertaining, which is what you want.
And it makes a nice change to have a game on a Sunday afternoon as well, doesn't it? Even if it is a 3:30 kick-off.
That's 3:30. So it gives me an hour and a half to fill before the.
I'll help you 2 till 3 because I don't think I'll be on air till 3.
So Matt, again, just look at the other top four side there. St Helens under the radar. What do we reckon? And they're just warming up nicely. Even though, they're getting a bit lukewarm. Are they warming up nicely now for the semis?
This is different from Saints of years past, where you look back and they've been the standout side of the season, haven't they? Mm. Where they've swept all before them. And then along come Leeds in the grand final and beat them, which has happened on, what is it, 5 occasions now. But this time, if we were talking about it on air yesterday with Dave Lyon from redv.net, which is an independent Saints website, and you look at the June, early July, they wanted him out. They wanted him sacked. They were playing a bad brand of football. They were an awful team to watch.
That's not improved much, though, has it? That brand of football's not improved much, Matt, has it?
It's better. I mean, somebody on Kev on Twitter has been in touch.
He's
said,
not a big fan of Kieran Cunningham.
He's not. And he says Jordan Turner's a woeful player. I think Jordan Turner, since announcing he's going to Canberra, has had no pressure on him, and he's gone into that Saints side. He's given Kieran Cunningham 110%. And he's made Saints tick. He's clicked with Luke Walsh, and they've looked a lot better. But again, Saints are another side now who play very, very structured. Mm. It's not the old Saints that play off the cuff with the offloads, and they're playing very much into a structure. I noticed a lot yesterday. Wilkin will take the ball into the line. He'll turn and he'll flip it out the back to either Walsh or Turner, who are waiting. And I think the game is really becoming too structured.
So, well, I'm looking at here now. We're only pre-guessing here that Hull will beat Warrington on Friday, and Saints will hammer Wakefield. Sorry about that, Michael and Chris Chester, but yeah, Saints will hammer you. Saints then will go to the black and whites. Is he enough in him? In St Helens to beat Hull over KC?
Yes. Got to be honest,
They're a different team than the one that hammered, or were hammered by Hull in the Cup, aren't they?
Yeah. They're a much better side now. And it's playoff football, isn't it? And anything can happen. It's knockout, it's trapdoor rugby league, isn't it? And we don't get enough of this trapdoor element at the moment. You look at Warrington and Hull, they're now going to have to play 3 weeks of trapdoor rugby league instead of 2 weeks of trapdoor rugby league. And that might tell in 3 weeks' time when they get to Old Trafford. They're going to have to lift on Friday, they're going to have to lift again for the semi-final. And have they got it in them to lift again at Old Trafford on the 8th of October?
Find out.
I worry.
On the Castleford's website, they've got Dennis Almeida scoring 40 tries this season, 34 in the Super League and 6 in the Challenge Cup. So I don't know how these numbers have made up. On another website, it says 39. So I think he is on 39, one away from the club record at Castleford, which he'll probably break this week.
It's 37 Super League tries on the official site.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, normally in Singe's days it would have counted for all competitions.
Yeah,
it would have counted for all competitions. That's what it normally did.
He needs one or two to break the record on Sunday.
I'll keep researching.
To be honest with you, because I've said about Solomon also, he's the best finisher easily in Super League, and they're talking about reports certainly in the League Express today that he may be going to Rugby Union. Let's hope he doesn't, because as I say, Josh Charlie's going there. Charlie will be back in 12 months or maybe 18 months, and certainly Solomon will be the same, because they won't enjoy it. They won't get the service, they won't score the tries, they won't get the same. Okay, the pay packet might be doubled, but at the end of the day, he's not going to enjoy certainly what he gets down there at Casper Tigers, I can reassure you.
I think Leslie Wynakolo going to the Gloucestershire, whatever they're called.
Not 39, definitely.
39, there you go. So, 1 to equal, 2 to break, I believe.
Yes.
So we'll find out on Sunday anyway for Dennis Allman, live on Radio Yorkshire. As we look to the final round of the Super 8s, which could, and we think will, decide whether Castleford finish 5th or 6th, because we think Wigan will stuff Catalans on Friday, because they're not very good anymore. So that's sorted out. At RL on RY, if you want to tweet us this evening, if you've got the Twitter address, that's good. What is happening on Twitter, Matt Holton?
Nothing. Not a lot.
Everyone's got all these end of season news that we've not been invited to.
Richard Cosmala on Twitter. Any ideas why the Rhinos v League game has been moved to Thursday? Yes, because they obviously wanted the three Super League teams to play at the same time on Friday night, and obviously they won't show two Super League games at once at the same time on two separate channels. Heaven forbid. Leeds v Leeds an easy move because it's only being moved from Friday to Thursday. I think that's the main reason. I think it's just because they wanted to show the big climax. Helicopter Friday, as it could have been, but it won't be.
Unless we do have a helicopter just hover above the KU Comp Stadium.
What, just get one to deliver the League Leader Shield anyway, giggle of it?
If only Annika Rice was in the helicopter, one for our older listeners there, that reference.
In a blue jumpsuit.
I was just hoping that Kevin Sinfield was going to be the person closing the box, to give him some kind of job to do.
No, it was the same bloke as last time.
Because I've seen now two interviews with Kevin Sinfield, in which I've learnt nothing about what his role at the RFL is. I've learnt he could have gone and played, in the NRL, or what he likes when he's toast, but not what he actually does. So the NRL are getting no knock on Kevin or anything. So that's the Super 8s sorted. Who's going to win? Who's going to win this weekend? Who's going to lift the League Leader Shield and the glory that goes with?
I think we're pretty close. I'm going for the Black and Whites. 19-12.
You can go for the draw, of course, Matt.
I think just think home advantage at the moment. And a happy household. Black and white, then, yeah.
The treble is on. The treble is still on. For Hull FC. But before we get on to the qualifiers, have you seen the news today coming out of Australia, or so I've seen anyway, on the new rules about international eligibility?
Don't tell me you've got to play for the country that you were born in.
No, because that'd be simple. You'll like this one, Scotty. There are tier one nations, which is England,
Australia
and New Zealand, and then there's all of the other teams, and now you can have two. You can be a tier one team, so you can be England, I mean, I'd choose Australia because they're good, they win everything. And then you can have another nation. So you can be England and Fiji, say. England and Wales.
So if you don't get selected for the 24-man England squad, you can make yourself available for Fiji.
Or Scotland or Wales.
What a load. What a load of tosh.
I am convinced this has only been brought in because the other part of this ruling is you now don't have to play for Australia or qualify for Australia or declare for Australia to play Origin, which, of course, is the most important thing in rugby league.
And when did this come out?
It was in the New Zealand Herald, I think, this morning. Or yesterday or something.
They're, well, they're making it an absolute joke, aren't they? Making an absolute mockery. And also as well, good thing Danny Outwell, he's not making himself available for Scotland. You know, Danny, he wouldn't let anybody down in England shirt. There is no doubt about that. But unfortunately, you know, with Josh Hodgson the way he's going, Clark is back to his best. James Roby's playing good rugby league. Unfortunately, for Danny, he's around where we've got some quality hookers. But I'm delighted that he's still got the ambition there to play for England. And he said no thank you to Scotland. But that might change because we've got a World Cup next year. You know, it'll be the last time we'll be able to make it to play in a World Cup. So, but we'll be for sure, as I've just said, he wouldn't let anybody down in England jersey.
See, if only this rule had been around in 95, we know you're trying to get to Welsh eligibility.
Oh, yeah, I'd play for Wales.
Fiji, South Africa.
Yeah, man, the Aussies might have picked me.
Yeah.
Hey, England didn't want me in 95. The Aussies might have picked me. I doubt it. But no, it's an absolute joke, isn't it? Absolute joke.
I can see why they've done it, because you don't then have a situation where you declare for example, Wales, and then you suddenly you're really good and you're the best player in your position, and you can play for England, but it does make a mockery, because it wouldn't happen in any other sport, would it? Or you wouldn't think it would happen in any other sport. And I'm sure it is purely because the Australians just nick any South Sea Islander who's any good and stick him in their team.
So do you reckon it's a desperate signing from the Aussies? But
I think that's why they brought it in. Because the fact that they've brought Origin into it, and that's a key element of this new international rule.
When you look at the Australian side, right, they've still got the four best players in World Rugby League in the day. Thurston, Cooper Cronk, Cameron Smith and Greg Inglis. They have still got the four best players in rugby league at this moment in time. What more do they want?
What does it now mean,
yeah, but
of course?
You could drop the world's best player into a team, see Alan Langer at Warrington, and it still won't make a difference, will it?
Does it now mean that Burgess, Hodgson et al. Can play Origin? Yes, I guess it does. Are they just wanting to make Origin into some kind of world all-star thing? Because the all-star thing at the start of the season, no one's really...
Well, I think that'll...
They use that to do...
The Aussies, certainly the Aussie people, the Queenslanders and the New South Wales, but they're pretty proud people. I think they'll have a big say in that. They won't want any Tom, Dick and Harry playing in Origin. No. Well, just make it a rest of the world team against New South Wales or Queens. I can't see that happening, Richie. No, I can't see it happening.
Do you remember that Super League Tri series?
Yes, that had a New Zealand side in it, didn't it?
Did it have a game that went to 120 minutes?
Yes. It went to
Sky
extra
to show,
time and then went to Golden Point after
Sky
that.
Sky used to show Rugby League Golden. They showed those old games. They don't show old games from 97. They don't show those anymore. Show those. Stop showing grand final after grand final. Especially like the rubbish grand finals.
What? Leeds Saints, because there's about five of them.
Surprise, Callum Lancaster, about to be released by Hull.
He's only played once all season, hasn't he? He played on Easter Monday against Warrington. Didn't let anybody down. I remember his debut down at the Hive when he against London Broncos when he got a hat-trick on debut on that Saturday afternoon a couple of years ago. He's just been restricted, hasn't he? Yeah. He's got Fatuli Talanoa in front of him. He's got Curtis Norton in front of him. He's got Steve Michaels in front of him. You think if Steve Michaels is actually leaving Hull at the end of the season, which... I think it's another one of these great rugby
Everyone
league secrets. We just don't know where he's going at the moment. You'd have thought Lancaster might have stuck around and seen what opportunities would arise for him next year, but he's made the decision. Where he's going to go, nobody knows. Wouldn't surprise me if he tipped up the other side of the river.
He looks like he's got a bit of bounty, doesn't he? He's worth another
club. Yeah, he's
not
my player, the kid.
He's worth another club giving him a guarantee.
He can play. Yeah, he can play the kid.
Rather than at this time of year, you know, we see Earl Crabtree might be about to leave Huddersfield, and he's had a good career, but now you're just going to get that recycling of players from the bottom end of Super League to the teams that are either coming up in Lee or are also at the bottom end of Super League. You think, Do we really want to do this? Or do we want to give people a go? Because we might learn.
I've got to be honest, it's been really, really quiet recruitment-wise, hasn't it, this year?
Everyone seems to know what's happening, but no one's announced.
There's not been a lot announced, has there? Because normally you'll get your big mid-season, I'm moving here for next year, and you'll know that teams have made steps to get the recruitment in place for next year. But this year's been really, really quiet. The only one that I can really remember at the moment's Mason Caton Brown to Wakefield.
And even that was in the papers 2 or 3 weeks before.
And the other ones are obviously the people that Toronto have signed, like Blaithwaite and Wheeler, and I mean, but going back to that, what about Rochdale?
Oh, superb.
Or will we come to that later?
No. Let's talk about it now. But
gives the League One clubs hope next season that it isn't just going to be a Toronto Warpath.
First defeat of the season for Toulouse.
Yeah,
and in the
final.
Game.
It's a great victory, isn't it? But say as well, Matt, I would imagine Ian Watson, who's just down the road at Salford, might just go into that Rochdale dressing room and speak to them players and say, "Listen, can you have a word with my players to get a bit of motivation to them and a bit of pride and a bit of passion, you know? Because it's a great win from Rochdale. I say they've been outstanding at home all season, haven't they, Toulouse? And for them to go there and beat them certainly in the final and get themselves in the championship, I think it's a great result for Rochdale. And
I think Rochdale were the
well done.
Did they have one draw in there? I think that was against Rochdale as well at Spotland early on. Yeah, that was against Rochdale at Spotland earlier on in the season. So, there's a couple of guys in that Rochdale team. Mike Ratu, son of Mike Ratu and grandson of the famous Fijian family.
Ratu.
Yeah, granddad Mike. It was Mike and Mike, isn't
it?
So,
yeah. Right, okay. Right.
So he was in that side.
He's also got that big Fijian heritage.
Yeah.
Hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he tells from many years ago. Yeah.
And,
but well done to them. Great effort, eh? Absolutely.
16-8 down at half.
And was it Paul Crook who equalled the Rochdale points in a season record as well
Paul
in the game
Crook,
as well?
Yeah.
3,500 in the South of France to watch that, and I don't know how many made it the trip from Rochdale, but I'm sure they enjoyed themselves and certainly enjoyed themselves in the evening as well.
They came straight back, more or less. Yeah, they flew straight back, more or less. There was a picture of them on the runway at Toulouse Airport in front of the plane. Having all celebrated.
I tell you what, if there's any friends of mine down there in London, certainly in Hemel, just an interesting point here. We know the Hemel fans are not, too happy that they're coming up north to Dewsbury, and I think the Hemel crowd is normally about 150, maybe 200 people every home game. Well, it's quite interesting. They signed a petition, and it's got 850 signatures. Well, I guess, to them people who signed that petition, if you...
You
turn up every week, well, you wouldn't be in this mess, would you? So that's my case on Hemel Stags, simple as that.
That's just it's a baffling situation, isn't it? How does that help develop the game outside the heartlands, having them tip up in Dewsbury on a Tuesday and a Thursday to train? In the paper, Barry John Swindles, who's been at Hemel for gone so many years, retired because he doesn't want to
travel.
He's 35
why would you?
And doesn't want to drive to Dewsbury twice
a week. Why would
you
travel under 70 miles? Why is it 340 miles round trip?
Round trip on a Tuesday after work
on Thursday. Exactly. You wouldn't do it, would you?
No.
And Dewsbury have teamed up with Wakefield as well. So it's Wakefield, Dewsbury, and Hemel all with some kind of connection now. So it's all exciting.
Is it?
Yeah, Wakefield are dual regiment with Dewsbury, and Dewsbury dual regiment with Hemel. So guess
why don't teams just get reserve teams?
Because I don't think old teams can afford it necessarily to have that many number of players in their squad. I'm guessing that's the answer.
Anyway, that's mind with the Hemel. But also as well, let's give great congratulations to Lee Centurions, not just on the victory against Batley, but also as well letting everybody in for nothing. And what about the crowd? 10,500 people.
I thought they'd have sold out, wouldn't you?
Eh? What was that old?
12.
It's not far off though, Matt, is it, to be honest with you? But let's just hope, you know, because we know the facilities are sensational. They're building a team to put a marker down next year, certainly in Super League, and that, you know, the league people turn up week in and week out next year when they're in Super League. But a great initiative by the board of directors, and well done to Lee.
Q broadcasters hastily installing ISDN lines
into
the Lee Sports Village.
We've already got ours there. We're ahead of the curve for once at Lee.
We predicted it, didn't we?
We're glad to see them up. We can go back there again next year. But no, it's a great... To go from bottom last year of the qualifiers to potentially
to finish on
win,
to finish on top. And as we know, there's a trophy to play for at Headingley on Thursday night. The broadcasters have put a trophy up, which well, exactly the question is why that is up. But there's a trophy to play for, and I tell you what, the way you know, Leeds and me arrested a couple of players on Saturday, they will rip into Leeds on Thursday night. Leeds have got a few problems, certainly with injuries.
Apparently, so it's not just Hemelstag's fans signing the petition, it's supporters from all clubs who have signed the petition.
All right, who are they then? Which clubs? Eh?
I mean, what you don't know is yesterday Leeds and Huddersfield played for the Gary Schofield trophy. Unfortunately, Mark's forgotten to take it. It's that bin.
Hey, I tell you what, though. What about the Huddersfield fans yesterday, Rich?
Hey, Matt,
after the game, honestly, you know, they were chanting my name and a lot of where we do the work of the radio and where the boxes are, the Huddersfield fans after. It's the first time ever Huddersfield fans are chanting my name. I got the sack in 1998.
Is this on the
first
end of
time they were singing my name, honestly. What is it, Rich?
Do you want to hear it?
Put it on, Rich.
This is the Huddersfield fans.
They're shouting my name here now. Keep going. If you keep chanting my name, you'll keep me employed here at Radio Yorkshire. Keep chanting. Thanks very much.
I mean,
they might have had a couple of sherbets, but still, you know, they might have had a few sherbets, Matt.
Did they have a good day on the bar at Huddersfield yesterday?
Yeah, it's the first time they've chanted my name at Huddersfield since 19. Well, it's the only time anyway. I don't know if they chanted it when I was there, to be honest with you.
The main news here is the fact that the Huddersfield fans have more than one song. Because I thought they just knew the words of the Fartown chant, but they've got more than one song.
You've been challenged to sign the petition as well now.
Gary can't use the internet.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Apart from Twitter, obviously.
I'll tell you what as well, just to talk about Lee, and it's great, isn't it? They put a statue of the great John Woods, you know, when Jason Donoghue played with Jason at Leeds, he came over there, and, you know, all the fundraising there. So, yeah, well done to Lee, and the best player that's ever played for your club in John Woods, and I know John will be very, very proud. It's a great picture here in the League Express of it, and with John and his missus. So, yeah, well done again to Lee. And that's what it's all about, the heritage and remembering the great players of their great clubs. Yeah, well done to Lee.
It's going to be interesting to see how they go next year, because obviously...
They'll go all right, Rich. They'll go all right, Lee. Don't worry about it. I reckon they'll be in the top eight next year. I do indeed. They'll go all right.
Have you got the grading there?
Yeah. So, Ben Flower is strikes with elbow arm, tackling, reckless. It's only been graded C. I thought if it was... Oh, no, intentional, it'd have been E to F. Reckless is C to E.
One can only hope that Wigan don't go into the panel and say, take his previous record into account, this is for the new panel.
Well, he's done then. That's grand final and everything. That's 3-match ban, so...
Another 12 months, Ben. Enjoy your holiday.
I would imagine, Rich, we're going to be a little bit smarter than that, won't we? I would imagine, you know, I know Sean's saying, well, the more you slow it down, the worse it looks. But it was just silly, wasn't it? You know, there was no need for it. The kick had gone and... Yeah, there's no need for it from Ben, to be honest with you, but I tell you what, he got Wigan on the march and they won the game.
Kevin Brown news.
I thought he'd been drifted for sticking the nut on Greenwood. No further action on that one. He's been done for the punching afterwards, as has Greenwood. Patrick Carvan, sending off sufficient. Player runs to join Melly unnecessarily. Appears to strike out towards body of opponent. However, footage unclear as to nature of contact.
That same footage where they couldn't get clear footage of Scott Moore gouging someone.
Yeah. Yeah, probably, yeah.
What about Sigiaro? He got put on report yesterday for gouging. Or pretending, well, looking as though he put his hands across somebody's face, which tells me that it's gouging. But has he been charged with anything? Has he been brought up?
No further action. Was it on Jake Connor?
Yeah.
Player initially handed off, then player then re-enters the tackle and makes some contact to head area of opponent.
Yeah, it was an absolute peach of a handoff from Jake Connor, and he didn't like it, did Seguiaro. But you're allowed to hand people off, aren't you? Doesn't matter where the handoff goes, whether it goes in your shoulder, in your chest, in your face. It was an absolute peach, and he didn't take too kindly, young Seguiaro. It wasn't, but I tell you what, the Rhinos fans yesterday, they turned out in their thousands yesterday. There must have been, I don't know, 2,500 fans there, and they really turned out and made a good atmosphere there at the Giants. They did, but unfortunately, the performance didn't match the enthusiasm of what the supporters showed, to be honest.
I want to know what Rochdale's John O'Smith said to the match official in the south of France to The match official being...
There's been plenty of charges come out of that game, actually.
Questioning the integrity of the match official or something. He's been charged with. I mean, we shouldn't joke, but...
It's not in here. I've lost it now. No, it's not. It's not there.
No, I was saying, you scrolled past it, but it was
Young Tom Crassley, the son of Paul Crassley from Wayford. Remember Paul Crassley?
Yes.
Crassley, good referee in his days. Old man was Paul, and Tom's following in the footsteps by being abused.
Questioning the integrity of a match official.
Is that what you were done for?
When I got taken off by Mr. Cummings, yes, I literally abused him, and not just him, the touch shoot as well. When I was walking to the dressing room.
Then.
Did I?
If you go in, you might as well go in style.
Did I? I'll tell you. Yeah.
What else is going on Twitter? We've not tweeted anything out, but everyone's been tweeting.
Well, the only thing we have tweeted out is who is going to win the League Leaders Shield. We just put a straight question out there, so...
That's the big question this week.
Yeah, we'll do, and I'll find the poll result in a minute as well. 65% say Hull FC, 35% say Warrington Wolves. We're going to do another poll in the second hour, which will be, who will avoid the £1 million game? Oh. The big draft, Hull's the place to be this weekend, isn't it? Yeah. You've got that drama on Friday night, and then less than... 14 hours later, you've got the drama at the Cape.
Because the drama, what you got there, and the opinion, right, of obviously the red and whites will be watching on Friday, thinking, don't win, we don't want you to win, come on Warrington, we don't want you to win, simple as that. And then on Saturday, you've got the black and whites, all Huddersfield fans, thinking, send them in that £1 million game, send them in that £1 million game. And I tell you, it's sensational, isn't it? It is, it's absolute brilliant. And,
especially when you're not involved.
There's no love lost between the black and whites and red and whites, and when you look at the two clubs and where they are at the moment, it's very, very intriguing. Very intriguing. And what's your missus like anyway?
Alright at the moment.
Is she okay?
It's Monday. Ask me on Thursday, Scully. Should have dragged her in tonight, shouldn't we? That would have been fun.
The League Leaders hubcap. I mean, are people bothered about it these days, or... Does it only matter when you win it? Is that the thing?
Well, this year, for the first time...
They're getting medals as well, aren't they?
They're getting medals as well, which hasn't happened in the past.
So, but what's the purpose? Why did they do it from day one, then? All of a sudden... Well, like, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it important, aren't they? But at the end of the day, you class as a winner when you pick up your ring, isn't it? You know, when you pick up that ring on the 8th of October. That's all it time. So, really, that medal doesn't mean any different. It doesn't mean anything, does it?
The good news is, though, the John Smith Stadium is available to host the £1 million game on the 1st of October.
I thought you were checking that.
That's what I was checking. The AJ Bell isn't available.
All that conversation about the AJ Bell, now it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
All those people can go watch the rugby.
I mean, you know, so we'll probably get onto it in hour two, Salford have got a tough trip up the mount on Sunday. John Keir's final game at home.
Correct.
London playing Featherstone.
Correct. Only 59 points difference.
Yeah.
Could happen.
You're the font of all knowledge, because yesterday you taught me the name of Widnes's mascot.
Polymer.
Because Widnes have got two mascots going. They've got the big furry Viking called Kemmick, and they've got an actual woman, which I was wondering, why is she not a big furry mascot as well?
She doesn't want to be a big furry mascot, to be honest.
She's an actual woman.
Yeah.
So why have they got two mascots?
Well, do you remember? No,
do you remember yourself about three or four?
Well, but we can't really go into that one either.
Are they married or something?
I don't know.
The
mascots. Do you remember when they had the Martin of Fire days and Jonathan Davis, and they had ICICMP on the shirts?
Yeah.
Chemic and Polymer. That's what it stands for.
You learn something new and interesting every day, don't you, about rugby league?
Now we need to find out, are they married?
I don't know. Any Widnes fans out there, at RL on RY.
Should more
you mean like
more
early
mascots?
And you mean like Early and Girly Bird up at the Carecom Stadium? Are they married?
Maybe we can only afford one mascot. And I was worried at times that Danny Cole might have been repossessed or something, sold off into slavery or for his skin. But thankfully, those days are long gone at Bellevue, and everything's happy these days. So.
Yeah, redevelopment and everything else, yeah.
Oh, you're right. Let's hope so. So, yeah, if you've got any mascot questions. But I was going to ask you, the next question I was going to ask you, and now I've completely forgotten what it was because I got sidetracked. Oh, yeah, you know everything.
I don't.
The RFL, did they get a job lot of shields? Because everything...
Yeah, everything's the same kind of shield design, isn't it?
Championship Shield, Championship League Leaders Shield, League One League Leaders Shield,
They're probably the Shield that Bradford are going to win.
Yeah. They're all the same, just with different writing.
Different writing on. Yeah. They must have had...
Job lot.
Just think, one for each wheel.
I'm surprised you don't get a trophy winning the £1 million game. That must be missed. Well done for finishing
yeah. fourth.
But they don't mean anything, do they?
I know they don't.
They don't mean anything, so what is the point? They don't mean anything.
Just, well, give them a load of bottles of champagne and have a bit of a spray shot. And
well, the players prefer that, but just leave it in the, take it on the pitch, just leave it in the dressing room. You can drink it properly rather than spraying it about. That's the best bet, isn't it? Eh?
I'm not sure you want to be drinking that stuff anyway, to be honest. I don't think it's proper vintage.
Dig out the Regal trophy from wherever that is these days. Get that to somewhere.
Probably at Wigan.
Everything
else is at Wigan, isn't it, apart from the Yorkshire Cup?
Yeah.
But we're not going down that road again either, are we?
No.
Because we'll get back to bringing back the Yorkshire Cup and everything. We do that every couple of months. Here is Stephen on Twitter. He's tweeted at @radio_Yorkshire. He says, after Salford's defeat on Saturday, I think they're in the team in trouble. Batley want to end Kia's last game with a win. I mean, we'll talk about more about the qualifiers after the news at 7 o'clock, but certainly... What did Mark Wilson say? It's a 39 point swing or something.
59 points. Gettable, Rich. It is gettable because we'll go into more, certainly solving it in the battle fix here. But just for London and Ferret, it'll all depend on what sort of attitude Ferreton have. But the 59 points difference, as Batley can beat Salford, that is certainly gettable. There's no doubt about that.
Just imagine the £1 million game, Huddersfield or Hull Canal versus London. Could happen.
And you know, if London play like they did on Saturday, who's going to write them off? Because Jamie Soward just, the proper little general, wasn't he, on Saturday? Guided them round the pitch, calmed them down when they needed to calm down, steadied the ship when it looked like Salford were going to snatch it at the end, and that would have been one of the biggest injustices of the game if Salford had snatched that inside the last 6 minutes, because they certainly didn't deserve to get anywhere close to London on Saturday afternoon.
Let us know who else deserves a trophy this year. We'll see if there's more.
Rochdale.
Oh, Rochdale have got one, look.
Oh, yeah, they've got a plate, haven't they?
They've got the same plate as everyone. Oh, no, that actually looks like a proper trophy. So that's exciting news for Rochdale. And
So, Kev on Twitter, yeah, just before we go to the news. To make finishing first important, first should go straight through to the grand final, then positions 2 to 5 should play off to reach Old Trafford. That's not fair on winning the league, because you'd go two wins for that game. Completely and utterly not fair.
Well, it's...
The old top five system was the best. The end.
Well, I reckon it's quite simply, after round 23, then the top eight, and that's a one plays eight, two plays seven, three plays six, or four plays five, that's it. There's no arguments there whatsoever. Not too many games. It's as simple as that.
In a 12-team competition, you're rewarding too many teams, for me. That's why I think it should be five. In a 12-team comp, it should be five.
We need to talk about lots of things, including Sheffield Eagles. We've got a tweet about them.
Yeah,
we'll talk about them. And we need to talk about the qualifiers, and we need to talk about the Championship Shield, and we need to talk about ourselves, and much more besides.
Proper Sport at 6. Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Richard Shawright.
Welcome back, Kicks Rugby League on Radio. It's your final hour of the programme this evening. Get involved on Twitter at RL on RY Richard Shawright, joined by Rugby League Hall of Famer Gary Schofield and Matt Horton, who's with us in the studio as well this evening. What's up, Matt? What's wrong?
I need the Radio Yorkshire one as well. It's not on there.
People want the moon on a stick these days. We're going to talk about, obviously, the qualifiers. We haven't talked about Leeds' performance yesterday against Huddersfield, or more likely Huddersfield's performance, but Leeds back to their pre-qualifiers form, it seems.
I just want to go on record and say I was one of only four people in the tipping comp that picked Huddersfield that week.
I said Huddersfield as well,
well
Matty.
Well,
I've got a nice curry from Mr. Wilson coming. Yes, a nice lamb tiger madras with mushroom pearly rice, three chapatis and lovely four pints of Kingfisher to get it down. Yes, I was one who said, but the reason why I said it, Matt, it was quite simple. You know, with Huddersfield, at times when the pressure is on, they don't seem to be able to handle pressure. When the games have been poor, they seem to bottled it as well. But the question, and the reason why I said, and Mark Wilson questioned, well, why have you picked Huddersfield to win? Well, I just say, well, it all depends on the attitude of the Rhinos players. And okay, Brian McDermott after the game, so the players were busted and what have you, but they just didn't do enough for me yesterday. I thought the creative side of it and, you know, the one man rugby style again, what they had played in all these qualifiers just wasn't good enough against Huddersfield. And the way that Huddersfield certainly played in the first 40 minutes was pretty impressive. Okay, Leeds scored a couple of decent tries in the second half when they decided to move the ball. But overall, Huddersfield were the winners against Leeds yesterday. And if they can play for around about 60, 70 minutes like they did in the first half, the Giants, then I reckon they'll just nick it against Ulkeston Rovers on Saturday.
It's going to be an interesting game, isn't it? Because obviously you've got Huddersfield who brought Ryan Brierley back into the team.
I was just going to say about Ryan Brierley, right. You know, he's a kid who's going to score your tries, and I get a little bit fed up, and to be honest with you, I get balled off, if I'm honest with you, when they say about halfbacks, about defending. That's not their job. Their job is to organise, and as I say, he's got a good combination going there with Danny Brough. But one thing for sure, this kid, he can score tries. He can score tries from any sort of distance because he's got pace. And I reckon, because what was being said last week is that Rick Stone doesn't fancy Ryan Brierley whatsoever. He thinks he's a luxury, he's no good for him. But I reckon there's been some influence, certainly from the top, to say to Rick Stone, listen, you are picking Ryan Brierley. It's as simple as that. And he played well, you see, the kid. And speaking to Matt Wilson as well, he reckons Rick Stone will drop Brierley because he can't defend. I'm not loving that one little bit.
Well, that's the strange thing about it, is in that report in the League Express today, which talks about players potentially leaving the Giants.
Ryan Brierley is one of them.
He's one of those who's
Can you believe it? And when I look at, you know, again, he's looking to bring his two of his cronies from Newcastle, you know, who were pretty, pretty ordinary players. I find it very hard to believe, to be honest with you. I do. Again, it's a British player, a young British player who's got plenty of talent, going to be thrown on the scrap heap, and I find it absolutely disgusting. But I reckon there's been a little bit of interference from upstairs at Huddersfield Giants and say, listen, this kid can play, this kid can offer us something, and you're picking him. It's as simple as that.
Well, no, we've spoken on this before, and obviously his agent has been in the studio and told us, Craig Harrison, that he's studied tapes of Danny Maguire, who in effect wants to be the second coming of Danny Maguire. If Huddersfield wanted rid of him, he'd be perfect signing for Leeds, wouldn't he? Along with pretty much every other team in Super League.
Well, Ryan Brierley is the best support player in Super League. There's no doubt about it. And the kid's got pace. He will score you, but tries from 40, 50, 60, maybe 70 metres. There's no doubt about that. And he's got a nice pair of hands. He's got a decent kicking game. He's not a bad little halfback. And as I've just said, you know, it makes me laugh when they're going about halfbacks, you know, when they're saying about the defence. They'll tackle when they want to, but they don't want to be making 20, 25 tackles a game. They should be making no more than half a dozen, 10 tackles a game.
It reminds me very much, Ryan Brierley, of Danny Maguire 10 years ago, maybe 12. Always on the shoulder, always looking to wait for the offload. He'll follow the big forward and he'll get that offload and gone, isn't he? And he's under the post. And
do you know what? Do you know, in any sport, right, what wins your games? Scoring more points than the opposition. There you go. Simple as that. And if you haven't got a player, or if you haven't got players who can score tries, then, and you've got one who can score tries, why don't you want to be in your side? Absolutely ridiculous.
What was wrong with Leeds yesterday?
Oh, it's
job done.
Yeah, job done. Yeah, they're ready for the end of season. They've got their end of season function tonight. They're ready for the end of the season, start again for 2017. Simple as that. Matt Horton just hit the nail on the head. But I tell you what, one thing for sure here on Thursday night, they better turn up, because Lee are going to rip in there. And if Lee do finish at the top of this league, I tell you what a scalp it is for them. Coming above Leeds, Ulkeston Rovers, Huddersfield and Salford. That's a good achievement, if that. That is a good achievement. But they're in for a big test on Thursday night against Lee, because they'll be coming to Headley on Thursday night looking to rip in. There'll be a great atmosphere. You know, the Leeds fans will give, you know, the Leeds players a great send-off for the pre-season. So there'll be plenty of numbers there on Thursday night. So, it's going to be an interesting game for Leeds on Thursday night.
A very interesting one indeed. Obviously, Leeds with one day's less rest as well than Leon. I'm not sure that will necessarily affect them too much. Although, as Brian McDermott said in press conference afterwards, they are low on numbers.
Well, they've lost Galloway. He's done his...
Are they going to have anybody left on Thursday night at this rate, Leeds? Because Ryan Hall didn't play yesterday. I'd be surprised if
Maguire won't. Maguire won't play. Galloway won't play. Burrow won't play. Good to see Stevie Ward back, getting himself plenty of involvement, certainly, say with ball in hand, you know, taking drives up. I'm not so sure I'd use him as a battering ram, to be honest with you. He's a wide runner, but got himself involved defensively, that's a big part of his game, so it's good to see Stevie Ward back. But as Matt just said there, and I'm sure the Leeds players will tell you deep down, they can't wait for the 18 minutes to be over on Thursday night, get themselves ready for the beach, and get themselves ready for 2017.
Looking forward to seeing Jamie Jones be a cannon playing a standoff as well.
Yeah, it was interesting again. He got to first man, but I tell you what, Jamie Jones for mine, you know, they've got the presentation night, end of season presentation. He will be named their player of the season, you know, and I know there's not been a lot to go at, to be honest with you, but he has been, you know, given his best week in and week out, tried his best week in and week out, and so I'll be very him and Kynos has been up there as well, but it won't surprise me if Jamie Jones takes all the awards at Rhinos tonight.
Apparently, according to Tony Pennington at RL on RY, if you want to get us on the Twitter, Lee are bringing 11 coach loads over to Leeds on Thursday night.
Park.
11 coach. Well, there's a trophy to play for.
Yeah,
the Beveridgeman Trophy. And I say the TV people are putting the trophy up as well, so that's interesting. And Richard Shawright tells us as well that it's going to be played for every year.
Every year, that's what I was reading in the article.
By who, though?
Every year, Leeds and Lee.
It's, you know, so the broadcasters know that may that Lee are going to do some great recruitment, and they're going to be playing Leeds every year now from until the end.
Great attendance at Huddersfield yesterday, 6,666, all the six.
Great, I'd say there
good
must
job,
be two, there must
be 3,000 from Leeds turned
there
up.
There must
have
be 2,500 from Leeds. It was a great
more
turnout.
Than that.
Great turnout.
More than
well,
that.
What does that back stand hold?
That stand holds 4,500.
Oh, does it? Well, it might be 3,000 then. You might be right there. But yeah, it's a great turnout by Leeds, and as I say, the fans they'll be turning out in plenty of numbers on Thursday night. They are indeed.
2,500 at Salford on
that many.
Yeah.
Well, it was cheap price, £10 to get in, drop the price, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was £10, but talking about Salford here now, you know, they're in a mess, aren't they? They're in a mess, you know, again, the chairman himself, again, he's put it out before even the qualifiers have finished that he's looking to buy into Newcastle, so, you know, what's he doing, Mr. Kukas? Why didn't he just say, right, I'm off and that's it?
Had they not spent money or done whatever the wrong they did on the salary cap, they wouldn't be in this
position. No, they won't, but they are rich, aren't they?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
And Ian Watson has said today in the league, especially players, they've got to take responsibility for performances. It's as simple as that, you know, but they're lucky to be aware. They know they're in a mess. The players, you know, they couldn't care less about Salford as a rugby league club. They'd be onto their agents to say, well, get me out of this place because I don't want to be here anymore. But take nothing away from London. They were outstanding. They were absolutely outstanding. So take nothing away from them. But Salford, they'll go to Batley on Sunday. And I can reassure you, if Batley are playing down that hill in the second half and there's not many points in it, and there's going to be a great atmosphere there. John Keir's the last man, his last game in charge. So they'll be wanting to put in a performance. It'll be a great atmosphere. There should be a good crowd there. And it wouldn't surprise me if Batley didn't turn him over on Sunday.
And not just John Keir leaving as well. Keegan Hurst off to Wakefield next year, isn't he? So
Yeah. So it's going to be a great atmosphere there. And so there should be, you know, the chairman and Kevin Nicholas and Paul Ellis and the chief executive and Keir and the players have done a great job. The supporters have got a bit behind them, and they'll be looking to finish on a high. Don't rule Batley out beating Salford on Sunday. And if London do get that 59-point difference, well, boy, oh, boy.
I mean, sounds strange, but I think John Keir perhaps has, I guess it shows his high standards in the interviews after the game on Saturday. He's talking about he doesn't want the season to be seen ending on a negative for Batley, but to the outside world, outside the Bulldogs club, they've done better, well, they've performed in these games better than most would have thought, and
Rich, I've seen Batley twice, you know, in these qualifiers. I've seen them twice, right? And so I'm at Ulchester Rovers, and for a good few minutes, they competed well and they were okay. Against Leeds, okay, 32-0 from there, but you would have expected to be 60-70. But what the opposition fans, they have given the respect and the applause what they have deserved this year, Batley. You know, Ulchester Rovers, when they came out, the Batley players before the warm-up, just give them a big round of applause. When they finished the game, the Batley players went to the main stand at Ulchester Rovers and gave them a great standing ovation. And so did the Rhinos fans as well. I'll tell you what, it's not been a disappointment for Batley at all in these qualifiers. They've had a great season, and I'll tell you what, they'll be looking to finish at a high on come Sunday afternoon.
It's going to be fascinating keeping an eye on those scores on Sunday, especially if Batley can get a lead.
I'll tell you what, as well,
if Batley win on Sunday, London just need to beat Fev, don't they? So.
Well, yeah, but we'll do. Yeah, but I'll tell you what as well. Let's just try and put ourselves in Ian Watson's shoes here, because we know Tim Sims gone, so he couldn't care less, to be honest with you. He's going, so he couldn't care less about what future Salford have got. So let's put ourselves in Ian Watson's shoes here now. And, you know, I've been in dressing rooms when I play for coaches, and, you know, I didn't really like him and this sort of thing. But I would never say I didn't want to. I will say, yeah, a couple of coaches. Yeah, I didn't want to play for them, but I wanted to play for myself, Pride, and also to other supporters and the directors. But now, you put yourself in Ian Watson's shoes. The players couldn't care less about Salford. They couldn't care less about the owner, because he's put them in the mess what it is. So how does Ian Watson get the best out of his players? How did he do it? It's literally a job impossible, isn't it? Isn't it a job impossible, that?
I mean, if Salford go down, none of those players are going to be worrying about putting food on the table or whatever, because they'll get, well, they might be signed up already at other clubs.
This is what I'm saying here. It's how does Ian Watson get the best out of his players? Because going to Batley is going to be quite intimidating, I can reassure you. Going down that hill, going into them dressing rooms, you know, it may not be the prettiest place to go. So how is he going to get the best out of his players to say, come on, I want a performance out of you because we're looking for the £1 million game next week? It's job impossible, isn't it?
Matt Horton, you have...
This is just a tweet I saw on Saturday afternoon, and this is Andy, who is the Manchester Evening News, covers Salford home and away, and tweeted this at 4:15 on Saturday afternoon. So this is during the second half, saying, hearing that Marwan has told the players his plans for 2017, wonder if that explains the performance.
Well, when's he told the players? Because I was told he went in the dressing room at half-time or something on Saturday.
And in other news, it's not the first time he's done it, has he?
So, but when is he told? Or when is he told the players this and what he's doing? It's an absolute mess, isn't it? Salford is an absolute mess, and it's all been caused by one bloke, Mr. Kukas himself. Simple as that.
We shall see what happens with Salford on Sunday, because they will know potentially who they'll be facing in the £1 million game, unless they lose and London go above them. We shall find out. Of course, you're right. If London win, there's no points to it.
No points to no points to it. Yeah, London just have to. Yeah, London just have to beat Featherstone, don't they?
And Batley have to beat Salford.
I'm an idiot.
there's no need to look at the points difference, is there?
It's amazing to let people, you know, like me, present these programmes these days.
What do you reckon? I reckon Batley will beat Salford on Sunday. I do.
They will go into that game. You would think the players would go into that game wanting to do their best for their coach who's leaving, because they've all had a great season.
This is the Batley players, yeah.
They're going to go in there with much more spirit,
enjoyment, smile on the face.
Five defeats in this competition than Salford, who won two games, won more than... Salford should have won more than one game more than Ballyboy.
Unless we forget, Salford shouldn't even be in there.
Let's forget who they are. They are, so they are, so we can't say that. They're in there. Simple as that.
Players going into that game with nothing to lose, wanting to put on a performance for the coach, for themselves, for the fans, for the people behind the scenes... They've got every chance.
And when it comes to funding, I mean, look at Halifax last year. Yeah. They won that last game, didn't they? And it gave them so much more money to deal with this year. And John Keir will fire them up as well.
I don't think they'll need any firing up. Then Batley players will be thinking, yes. Who would we want coming here? The last game of the season. Who would we want coming here? I tell you what, I bet the majority say, yeah, let's have Salford. Let's bring them down the mount. Let us go up the hill in the first 40 minutes. We'll hang in there, and then the second 40 minutes, we'll rip in, and we'll see what sort of character, we'll see what sort of team spirit this Salford team's got. Because I'll tell you, at this moment in time, they haven't got anything what Batley have got. Simple as that.
Let us know. Who's staying up? Who's going in the £1 million game? Hats. Radio underscore channel RL on our web. I've had loads of tweets about many various topics this afternoon. What was that one about Sheffield we had ages and ages ago? I'm just trying to find it now. Although I did enjoy Ian's. He said, what does anyone do at the RFL? Billy Smart Circuses run better. Oh, that's a bit harsh. That's when I was asking, what does Kevin Sinfield do? Oh, there you go. Oh, it's Craig. Arsenal lads, is there still a future for Rugby League in Sheffield with the Eagles homeless and near extinction? I mean, this all goes back to the council decision to knock down their stadium at Don Valley in the first place, but they are trying to get some funding on online, aren't they? They've got a GoFundMe campaign going on, which is not necessarily the best way to fund a Rugby League club long term.
No, but we say here it as well, it's because the, what is it, the chairman here who's... come on, Eagles' future remains in doubt, but it says now, you know, it's quite, we made a huge mistake by going full-time. Well, they did. You know, this new investor now is demanding this, is demanding that, and one thing they demand is quite simple. They go back to part-time, and then the big problem is now, is that the players are on full-time contracts and they can't afford to pay much, so that's why they might have to go into administration, but they made a, you know, a huge rick, didn't they, by, you know, going into full-time. It's never...
Shouldn't have worked, should it?
No, it should not have happened, and, you know, we all know where I say that Mark Aston is not just a coach, he's the chief executive, he's the chairman, he's a sweeper up, and he's everything at Sheffield. He's Mark, and he's done a great job, but, huge mistake going full time, and it's going to cost them absolutely dearly because they lost the best players, didn't they? The best players, you know, certainly Bambari and young Davy and Pat Walker, is it, who went to, was he's at their battling now, aren't they? You know, so they lost the best players because they had decent jobs and they didn't want to go full time. So it's been an absolute disaster for the Eagles. Yeah, we hope they stay afloat, but it's going to take a long road back to where they want to get to. It's as simple as that.
Andy's asked an important question, which again, you ask us all these questions, we don't know the answers. Does winning the league mean entry to the World Club Series, or do we not even know that yet?
We don't know what's happening with that at the moment.
We don't know what's happening, do we?
I suspect it will be the grand final winners plus... Well, it'll probably
is it cutting
be...
down to...
Well, if it's three, the qualification last year was grand final winners, league leaders and grand final winners, which got made easier by Leeds winning everything. So they went with the grand final runners-up. And then they should have gone with the third place team.
Huddersfield, but they didn't because of the crowd.
They didn't want to host a game, Huddersfield, allegedly. And so they went with Saints. So I would definitely think grand final winners will go in the World Club Challenge. You would think if it's going to be Hull who are going to win everything, you'd take your grand final runners up. And then you'd take your third place team. So at the moment it'd be Hull, Warrington, Wigan.
Which so there wouldn't be any, debates about that, would there, surely? Won't be any debates about
Shouldn't
that.
Shouldn't be any debate about it.
No.
But we don't know. Wasn't there some talk that it might be going down to two teams?
Which then it would be the grand final winners and the Challenge Cup final winners for me.
Yeah.
Or the grand final runners up, say the black and whites win both.
I mean, it's not like Rugby League to have a concept and then, you know, change it after about 2 weeks and 2 years and scrap it after the third.
But also as well, I don't know, Matt Horton might know, but there's not many of us. Do we know when Wayne Bennett's coming over? His duties now have finished with the Brisbane Broncos, Matt. He's in charge of England. The test match against France is coming up in a couple of weeks. The Four Nations starts in a few weeks. Is Wayne over here looking at all our British talent, or is he putting himself on the beach, do we know? Do we know when he's coming over?
You couldn't begrudge him a couple of days down on the Gold Coast at Surfers, letting the Pacific Ocean lap the feet for a few days and just to recharge the batteries a little bit, but he's got bigger problems going on at home, hasn't he, Wayne Bennett, at the moment, which has been reported. I'm not going any further than there, but when he comes over, I don't know.
Probably. Why, what's wrong with it back home?
Should have asked Dennis Betts yesterday, but I didn't, so...
Well, what's the issue? What's the issue? You know, sir, I've not heard anything. What is it?
Is it personal, really?
Yeah, it's a personal one, yeah.
All right, OK. Well, obviously, we can't discuss it then, but... He may not be coming over?
He'll be coming over. He's got stuff to sort out at home first, I think.
Right.
Dennis Betts and his... do we know the assistant? When was that job?
No, that advert was in last week, wasn't it?
Oh, is it still there? We haven't got the general manager yet, have we?
Super League?
Yeah.
Still, Mark Bolton's still running the ship at the moment, isn't he? So...
I just need to keep up on these things. I'll tell you what we do need to talk about. Do you have a vote on the Dream Team, Matt?
No. I don't know if I should do, but I haven't been given one.
Well, we had one. Well, Mark gets one, because he's an international Rugby League broadcaster.
Members of the Rugby League writers who get one?
No, because he's not one either.
All right, well, no, then. I don't get one. I'm obviously not important enough.
We put our vote... The team is announced next week, so if you've got any thoughts on who will be in that team, We found it very, very difficult to pick centres, because you have to pick three in each position. 5 points for your first selection, three for second, one for third, and then they tally them all up and go from there. You're trying to do it yourself now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
I'll get our votes up, because I found it difficult to do, in terms of the centres at least, anyway.
The full-backs aren't too difficult. You'd probably go Shaw, Ratchford,
Lomax.
And Lomax. Your wingers, Solomon as a cert.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Corey Thompson probably deserves a vote in there as well. I'd pick
Talanoa,
Matt Russell. I like Matt Russell. I think he just brings so much to Warrington. Yeah.
Shall I give you our vote? Shall I tell you who we went? I don't know if we're supposed to reveal these or not before it's now. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Well, Pete Smith's put is in the paper.
I think, right, full back, we went Shaw, Lomax and Ratchford.
Yeah.
Winger, Solomon, Talanoa, Thompson.
Yeah.
Centre, this is where it gets
fun. This is where it gets really hard.
Mahe Fanua.
Yeah.
Some daylight. Ben Curry. He's not really been playing centre.
He's not played centre. He's played once there all year.
Well, he got 3 points for that performance. Callum Watkins. That's how difficult it was to pick centres this year.
Yeah, but statistically, we threw the stats in, didn't we? And we had a look.
What about your Gilda at Wigan? Gilda's been right at Wigan. Ben Curry's only played once. He's just told me.
Well, yeah, we were really struggling, Gary. This is where we went wrong. Stand off, Gidley, Carney, Williams.
Carney's not played enough for me.
Gidley's been playing seven, not six.
Williams, definitely.
Scrum half. Gail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoe-in.
See you later. Yeah.
Sneed.
Maybe.
Sandow. Oh, we should have got one.
Yeah, Sandow's been playing six. Gidley's been
playing
seven.
It's a toss-up between Smith and Sneed for me. Props are easy. Prop. Taylor. Hill.
Hill, Taylor, Millington.
Okay.
All right, go on. Who would you...
I wouldn't... No disrespect to Grant. There's a case for Liam Watts as well in there for me. There's a few. I don't think Grant Millington's top three, to be fair.
Hooker.
Danny Outen.
Yeah.
Clark.
Yeah. Roby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Second row, Curry.
Yeah.
You'll never guess who we got second.
See, do you pick Gaz Ellis in the second row? Do you pick... Oh, Mark Minicello, definitely.
Maybe looks forward, Ellis, won't
he? Mark Minicello, got to be in there. No?
No, you're picking for somebody. Ferris.
Right, okay.
Glenn Stewart.
Yes.
Yeah, Glenn Stewart.
Give you that
Brett
one.
Ferris.
Loose forward, Ellis.
Yeah.
Westerman.
Yeah.
And then we put Stewart in again, that must be my mistake. But I think what we were saying is, when we were trying to put it together, is
centres
some of these
is
positions,
so hard to
well, some
pick.
Of these positions are so interchangeable. Second rowers and loose forwards.
You see, here's one. Andy King on Twitter, and... very good point. He won player of the month, Ryan Atkins.
Yeah.
For your centre.
I don't know why we didn't pick him.
Yeah, there's talk about Lake Lee making an offer for Glenn Stewart and Ryan Atkins. They're ambitious. Yeah, it's in the League Express. Ryan Atkins and Glenn Stewart.
It's harder than you think to pick these teams.
It is.
And then you realise when you've got to the end, you've pretty much forgotten someone. You're right, we probably should have picked Mini, shall we?
We should have done.
But, well, we didn't, so we didn't. So we'll take a break. You can come in and slag off our selections at our Rutland Hallway.
Yeah.
At Radio Scully Yorkshire. Because, let's face it, we're not the only ones who voted. And there'll be people worse than us. I'm sure there will be. We'll take a break. Work out if our phone system works and come back.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Richard Shawright.
So, this programme, not thrown together as some people think.
No.
But I don't know, are you wanting to get your order in for your tea or something?
No.
You've got your wife on the phone.
We were asking earlier, weren't we? You were asking, weren't you, Scoy, about how the Hull fans are feeling this week. Here you go. Here's your chance.
How are you, Karen? You okay?
Oh, you need some
headphones. Not bad, not bad. It feels like Wembley week all over again.
Feels like Wembley week all over again, Scoy.
Oh, surely not. It's only the
have you first of all, the have you recovered from Wembley yet, Karen?
Oh, definitely. We've got more important things to fry now, haven't we?
Right. And so now, then, the honeymoon surely's got to a finish because, okay, a win's a win against Wakefield, but now... This is a business end for the Black and Whites. What do you reckon, Friday?
You see, for me, I'd got my head around Warrington winning the league leaders. I honestly believe that they would have beaten Wigan. I was as shocked as anybody when Wigan beat them on Friday. And all of a sudden, we're back in with it. And home advantage, We're heading for a cracking crowd from what reports are coming from the KC. So, fingers crossed, home advantage, home crowd behind them, we can actually get the trebles back on track, hopefully.
Are they going to open the North Stand then? Is it going to be... Cause
I don't know.
We want a gap between us and the general public.
No, they're not going to open the top tier, awesome. I don't think. No, we'll be fine.
I don't think they'll open the top tier, but they'd be daft not to put Warrington fans in the North Stand and get the other end of East Stand back to home, surely.
A lot of away fans have moaned about that this season, haven't they? They've been stuck in the corner.
I'll tell you what then, Karen, looking at the way the Hull have played since Wembley, and I've mentioned on the show just earlier that we need to get back to what we've been doing all season, ripping in, Mark Snead getting us around the field centre with his kicking game. That's what we've got to do, haven't we, to win this game on Friday night, because if we don't rip into the Warrington side and we don't get that good field position, it could be lost, couldn't it?
I think we need to do basics right. I think we need to retain the ball. No silly penalties. It's just about doing basic, good rugby, and that will win us the game. If we play panic rugby, it doesn't work, and start throwing the ball out willy-nilly, you've got several players. I know Sandow's not playing, but we've got several players that are very capable in that Warrington side of picking up the ball and going full length. So we've just got to play it tight, and we'll do it. We're capable of doing it. We know we're capable of doing it. We've done it three times already this season.
The treble's on, of course.
Yeah.
What's that stat about Wigan at the Cake? Was it the last seven they've won?
They've won the last seven on the run now.
But of course, if Hull win, because I was told this earlier,
Saints at home.
I tell you what, my working out league tables has been shocking for the last couple of weeks. If Hull win, and Wigan are going to beat Catalans, unless it's the shock result of the season, it's St Helens at the KCOM Stadium in the semi-finals, which I'm guessing you'd be happy about rather than playing Wigan again.
I would much rather play St Helens, and this is what I'd got my head around. I'd got my head around the fact that give Warrington the league leaders, and that meant that we would have St Helens. And I was quite happy with that. And all of a sudden, it's been thrown up in the air that we could either A, get the league leaders, fabulous, home against St Helens, or we could end up losing the league leaders and end up down that road to the DW next Friday night, which is quite frightening.
See, I can never get to the DW, we'll get lost every time, so it's Friday for me.
It's all right, I'll pick you up.
I'll tell you what, Karen, as well, we've been debating, and I say on Thursday night, and Matt brought it up, certainly, the teeny try Warrington and Wigan on Friday. We said here about the match officials, and we all know at this moment in time they're going through a very ordinary period. Who would you like to see as a referee on Friday nights? Because the press is going to be on. It's going to be, both teams, if they bring the A games, then it's going to be, a quality game of rugby league. So, pressure will be on. The pressure's going to be on from the crowd. Who would you like to see as the official? And you can't say nobody because we need somebody.
I don't know, because I think every single official has made boo-boos throughout the season. Every single official. For me, the thing about Friday night is the fact that in a game where we have the technology, supposedly, where we have a video ref, how could we not see the reverse angle? How could we not see...
Cameraman missed it on Friday night.
We all can see it, but it seems that the video referee can't.
It's just mad. It goes back to that there's been stupid video ref decisions for years now. Come on, we were all at Magic Weekend where we knew Chris Green was a million mile offside, yet he gave the try. And just daft things like that really do mean that the refereeing is bagged year in, year out. When are we going to sort it?
So you're a supporter, and obviously you're in the crowds, whether it's at the KC or whether it's at the DW or Warrington's ground. What do you think the supporters' opinion of the video referee should the supporters reckon should it go or should it stay?
Me personally, and I think I probably do speak for a lot of fans.
Yeah.
Video ref is good, however, I think it should be fair and it should be in every single game.
Well, that's not going to happen because they can't afford it.
But... all or none.
Mm. Exactly, all or none for me.
Right,
and
fair
I know
play.
That's the problem. It's funding, and I know it, everything comes down to funding, though, doesn't it? Everything comes down to funding, especially with the RFL. We're not a rich sport. We try to compete with the NRL, and we can't because at the end of the day, the NRL is Australia's top sport. We don't have that financial backing over here. So we either do it properly or we don't do it at all, and unfortunately we're not doing it properly.
So this week the build-up to the game, your other half, who is a Warrington fan, I know he leads his first team, but apart from that he covers Warrington every week. What will he be having for tea this week, or does he have to make it himself?
I'm sure the dogs will share their bowl with him.
Yeah, my tea's in the dog bowl. It will be Saturday if Warrington get over the top on Friday night.
So it's like the League Leaders' Shield.
I could probably put my tea in the League Leaders' Shield and eat it out of that.
Big box full of them at Media City, ready to give out for any occasion.
On the bright side, we're going in two separate cars on Friday night, so he won't be having to walk home.
he's took the easy option, eh? He's took the easy option, Karen, eh?
Yeah.
Happy days.
Did you enjoy the welcome hospitality of Bellevue on Thursday? I know you were there at the most exciting game of the week.
The home of rugby league.
Home of rugby league, yeah.
I don't mind Bellevue standing where I stand. I stand on the, where the little roof is down the side, near Benidorm Flats, as we call them. So you can actually see, but standing in the away side, it's awful. As somebody who is vertically challenged, you really do need to sort that side out because you can't see a thing.
Well, we're going to knock it down and build a new super massive Ace Stadium. So,
really, I won't hold my breath.
Andy Kelly said that on Thursday before the game. We were talking about the new plans. He said when he signed for the club in 78 or 79, he went up to the director's office or whatever, and there was a Perspect box with the new Bellevue in it made out of papier-mâché or something, and that wasn't built either. Possibly so. That's what Andy said. He said they've dusted that off and said, this is the new ground, everybody. But,
I used to like it actually when away fans were allowed in Benidorm Flats. I've had some great views from up there.
Yeah, in the bar.
Especially when the mascot tried to climb over the fence to have a go at us. That was quite interesting.
We're back on mascots again now. This is a reoccurring thing. Mind you, it is my fault because my Facebook picture is myself with the Catalan mascot at Magic Weekend. So that's my own fault, but there you go. Karen, thank you very much. Good luck on Friday. We all hope Hull win because Matt doesn't, obviously, because he can't.
We're all Hull, aren't we?
Well, all Hull are we?
Of course we are. Enjoy the game, Karen.
Well, Guy was referring to them as we earlier, wasn't he?
So, yes.
Yeah, now you've been welcomed back into the bosom of the Hull family by that family of the week.
Yes, absolutely.
Welcome many times, Guy, you know that.
Absolutely delighted. And right, and I look forward to seeing you on Friday, Karen. Okay, darling. See you soon.
All right, then. Take care. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. I don't know what we're doing on this programme. That's your wife.
But you've got the insight that you wanted.
Yeah. Oh, it's all about insight. It's just like she doesn't get paid for that.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I'll tell you what, Matt, she's very knowledgeable, your missus, isn't she?
That's because she's had a good teacher.
Yeah, she's very... I reckon it's the other way around. You've had a good teacher. I tell you what, she's very, very switched on, is Karen.
Get her on the telly.
She is indeed.
More tweets, plenty about the... Nigel's accused of as anti-Wigan bias, which, as we said, we like Wigan. I like going to Wigan. Yeah, I like the pies. And because we didn't pick John Bateman. We were suspended for half the season. That's why we didn't pick him.
Yeah, he was gone for 8 weeks, so how could you pick John Bateman in the side?
It's very difficult.
He only had, he's 7 weeks, wasn't he? Yeah, how are you going to pick Chris Sandow? He's had 7 weeks off now as well. Just before
He wasn't top of this. He was
Just before we go anywhere else, I know we do have some listeners the other side of the hill.
Hello.
Sunday the 16th of October at Widnes, the Select Security Stadium, John Stankovic has organised a Legends game for the Kathy Stankovic Foundation. It's gates are at 11 o'clock. It's Widnes Legends against Saints Legends at 5 o'clock. And there's three games on. There's a West Bank Bears against Blackbrook at 11:30, an amateur select side from Widnes and Saints at 12:45, and then the Legends game at 5 o'clock. Oh, and then at 5 PM is the Bridge Suite opens for the evening event, including entertainment. Tickets for all three games: £10 for adults, £5 for OAPs, and free for under 16s. You can check it out at www.rllegendsevent.co.uk.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Got a spot there if you're over. T'other side of ill.
In the Four Nations on that weekend? It's late in October, isn't it?
England play France on the 22nd, don't they?
Yep, and then Huddersfield on the 29th.
Is that the first one, right?
It was lovely if the RFL to put that game on my birthday, but sadly I can't get to France to watch it, so that's a shame. I'll have to work or something. But, I'm looking forward to the Four Nations. Yeah. I think I'm going to see if I can go through a couple of games. Maybe the final. Not been to Anfield for a long time. We've got that new stadium. I don't know if I'm going to be bothered going to the Olympic Stadium, though. So I think it's going to be a bit of a...
Well, Coventry as well. Why do you want to go to Coventry?
Especially when the second game kicks off at 8 o'clock, which of course...
Which is for the domestic marketing.
But it does mean, Matt, that an 8 o'clock kick-off on a Saturday night means that we will not have any reports of New Zealand versus Australia in the papers. Because
what I know what's coming now.
Well, yeah, because... Your man from the I newspaper.
Not my man, I don't even know who he is.
The man from the I newspaper, a newspaper that we all read every day, says we need to change kickoff times and many other things. Now, in fairness, I agree with him on the kickoff time thing to get stuff. Because I don't, 8 o'clock kickoffs, especially on TV, generally kick off at 8:05, 15-minute half time, we're not done by 10. Then you've got to wait for the coaches, which some of them take a long time to come in.
And then fall out with certain people who were there.
So then we have to wait for a long time for that. You don't get on until late. So yes, it would be nice if the games kicked off earlier on a Thursday and a Friday evening. But, how many football games kick off at that time? You're still going to form that report in the papers.
But the frightening thing is, was it Chelsea-Liverpool on Friday night? Kicked off exactly the same time. They play 45 minutes each way, have a 15-minute half-time and finish before the rugby.
But you're telling me that if the RFL paid photographers to do their job and then gave the pictures away for free, that the newspapers would suddenly print full-page match reports on rugby league games? It's not happening.
And you'd
I've
have
got
all...
the Daily Mail here.
No. You might need to keep that in one piece before you do it again afterwards.
I've got the Daily
Mail here.
You've already
screwed it up and thrown it away once.
I've got the Daily Mail here, and there's... You know what's on the yesterday's rugby league in there? Absolutely diddly squat. Nothing at all on yesterday's rugby league.
Who is the Daily Mail rugby league correspondent at the moment?
Who's the Irish rugby league correspondent?
It was Richard Bott, wasn't it, the Daily Mail's?
I've got
retired.
I've got the Daily Mail, and I've got the Daily Mail. And again, this is not a knock on the rugby league writers; it is not their fault. But I've got a quarter of a page on yesterday's game. It kicked off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Quarter of a page.
I know Gareth, who does the stuff in the Mirror, was at Huddersfield yesterday.
He was. And again, it's not a knock on those writers. I've got the Sun, and in today's paper.
Got a
fifth of a page on yesterday's games. So you're telling me if the RFL bend over backwards to the national newspapers, they're going to get more media coverage? Because I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. Because it's not happening.
Speaking of newspapers, I had the displeasure of reading one of the trade papers today and got to the letters page and the first letter.
Is it this one?
Yes. The first letter. I just want to bang my head on the table and smash my head into the table.
But
people complaining about kits.
Just on that point. The national newspapers are not going to cover rugby league in any more detail if we give them free photos, copy to print throughout the week. The RFL send plenty of stuff out throughout the week on matches coming up and stuff. Plenty of stats for us to steal and use and sound like we're intelligent. The national newspapers aren't interested in rugby league. If they were, they'd cover it. It's as simple as that. Are we to spoon-feed newspapers all their material?
We get journalists from national newspapers at a lot of games. You've got Aaron with Barrow was at Widnes yesterday, covering the game for The Guardian. Julie Stott, who does the Daily Star,
but they're
puts
not
a lot of work in.
The papers aren't giving them the inches, are they?
Yeah, but to be fair, Julie does quite well in The Star. She gets... There's lots of stuff goes into The Star. Gareth Walker gets plenty of stuff in with the People and the Daily Mirror. Nigel Whisk is involved in one of those publications as well.
What are they wanting then? What are they wanting?
They're wanting the earth, aren't they?
Well, they're not having it.
I saw on Twitter that I think it's Dave Hadfield who's the contributor for the Eye.
Let's say I thought he was. So what's the problem? Why? And the problem is it turns into a let's all have a go at the RFL for not doing something when I'm not necessarily sure. I mean, we can say there's plenty of things the RFL shouldn't do that they don't all do. But I don't think this, should they be... the guy from the Eye uses the Premier League and the Football League as an example in the fact that they sort out the photographers and send out the stuff to the papers. Well, rugby league, as we were talking about earlier with the video referee, is that an expense we can afford? You know, after a match, as a right holding broadcaster, do I get a one on one with every coach of every Super League team? No, I don't.
I was going to say, Mark did well yesterday, didn't he?
Well, that's because he just led the presser.
Right.
Because we can't speak to some rugby league coaches after games because they won't speak to everyone, which is their prerogative, that's fair enough. But when have we spoken to the England coach?
You can speak to the England assistant coach, no problem.
What day is that France game then?
22nd October.
The 26th, so the week before then, the Four Nations, right, okay.
I don't know. I just think it's again people getting their high horses up on something. And I should say, Steve Mascod wrote a very interesting column the other week about streaming press conferences, but why that was a main headline on the Rugby League website when there's other things that are more important for the general public at large to learn about. I don't know. And it was an interesting column, probably interesting to me, because I work in this business, but probably not of any interest to people who just go and watch games and want to know what's going on.
Let's just say there was another interesting exchange between the two combatants on Friday night at Warrington.
You know, it's fair enough, but I'm sure people, when they go to the Rugby League website, would rather read about the players and what's going on. You know, Scully's born now. He's switched off. He's not interested.
Going back to the video referees, then.
Jonathan Thurston or something.
No, yeah. Going back to the video referee thing, Rich. Mike Chapman on Twitter, @RLNRY. One thing to change when the video ref is called for, the referee should not have to make the call, try or no try.
Why would he change that in the first place?
Because they did it in Australia.
What else are they doing in Australia we should steal them?
Apart from I like the rule they have in Australia where if you kick a... the shot clock's good. That does get on my goat where you get to a goal line dropout and you can guarantee somebody's going to go down injured. The other rule that is in Australia, they've trialled it over here in the Academy and Reserve grade this year, is if it's a 40-20, you get a tap restart instead of a scrum.
I buy into that one.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I buy into that. I'll tell you what, the way the scrums are going, why do we have scrums? Just have a tap anyway. Just have a tap, why do we have scrums?
I think there were two scrums of the Wakefield Hull game where the referee stopped it to pull them apart, to put them back together.
Why?
I'll tell you one as well. We looked at that excellent game with Wigan and Warrington on Friday. What about the sin binning of Stephen Radford? Wasn't that a joke? Hey, what was Robert Hicks thinking?
Has he been cited for that?
It's on here, yeah.
What was he thinking? It wasn't even a flop, was it, really? Hey?
It's something you see all the time.
You see, I must have seen it, 12 times yesterday between Leeds and Huddersfield?
From match review, Scully, player completes tackle on opponent who has made a break. Contact is late, however, force is moderate and no contact with head. Sin bin sufficient. It's been classed as a professional foul.
Well, how many times do we see that in all the games? I must have seen it happen 12 times. You see it between Huddersfield and Leeds, and they never got sin-binned for flopping.
Sometimes we do.
It's just the inconsistencies, isn't it, and what they see. You know, boy, oh boy. Hey? Makes you laugh.
I've turned this program into a moan session for the last minute. But we don't want to do that. We want to be very
positive
about the week. I mean, Michael says if we're in London on Thursday, which I'm not, I'm not working Thursday, I could go down there. We should go to the London Scholars Bar to watch Lee versus Leeds. So if you're in London.
Well, I'm at the Leeds game anyway on Thursday, so unfortunately, so I can't take up that invitation, to be honest with you. But,
are you behind the wheels of steel?
I am. At the moment, yeah, unless Mark's got other ideas.
Enjoy that one, then. Elsewhere, Michael says the Eye reporter was correct, regularly in the so-called quality papers. Yeah, but I honestly believe, Michael, we could write match reports for them and they won't get printed.
Yeah, but
they'll talk about football and horse racing and golf and tennis and everything else apart from rugby league. Why is it going to change?
It's not going to change. It's gone down for years and years. It's not going to change.
The sports media will cover what they want to cover. British ice hockey at the top level gets higher crowds. than women's football. Which gets more coverage?
Women's football.
And that's
because BT and BBC have paid a ridiculous amount to cover it, haven't they?
On women's football, it's why do they cover one over the other?
I used to go to the Manchester Storm back in the day.
Manchester Storm?
And I was there one night and they pulled just short of 20,000 into the MEN for a game. Ice hockey. It's cracking.
Imagine 20,000 at Salford. Well, they can't,
even fit it in the ground, can they?
Sat in the car park. Let's look at this weekend's fixtures. Live on the Radio Yorkshire, three games for you. Of varying degrees of importance. On Thursday...
The Bev Risman Trophy.
Leeds... And we shouldn't really...
mock it.
Well, we're not mocking him.
No, we're just...
Why is it suddenly for a trophy?
Well, yeah, why all of a sudden has this trophy come, Bev Risman, great player for Leeds, great rugby league player all round, and certainly I'm sure he donned the Leeds jersey with pride and did it with plenty of distinction, but he's never been played for before, so why all of a sudden this fixture's been changed 9 days into, because it was a Friday night, and why all of a sudden playing for a trophy? So
the next time Hull play Leeds scores, should they be playing for... Scottish Trophy.
Well, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Are you going to stick your hand in your skyrocket and put a trophy up for Hull and Leeds next year?
We'll get one of them podcasts.
Yeah, I'll put that up. I'll put the
Radio Yorkshire.
Sponsored by Radio Yorkshire. Whoever wins, you can parade out if you wish. But, as I say, and because at the end of the day as well, you know, Leeds would have said, we'll have this because they would think, it's a trophy we're going to win. I tell you what, the way Leeds are going to rip it on Thursday, it could be where it ain't going
to
happen.
I mean, the only shame for Leeds is they haven't got enough notice to bring out a special kit for this.
Yeah, and the only other thing is as well, maybe if the queue was on the rack yesterday from Leeds, could they be accused of putting the queue on the rack yesterday? Are they going to get it off and put some chalk on it before Thursday night?
Well, I'll tell you what, and I say we're talking about now how they're going to go. Lisa Chorins, the rest of a couple of players there, they're bringing plenty over. They're ready to put a marker down. They'll be looking to finish above Leeds, Ulster Rovers, Giants and Salford, which would be a great achievement. I'm going for Leeds to knock Leeds off on Thursday night.
Wouldn't surprise me. Really wouldn't surprise me. I think the queue's done. And there's no chart for it.
I need to put some good results together so I stay above Mark in the Super 8's tipping competition. not the main one, I've completely screwed that up.
But. And then we've got the Black and Whites of Warrington, where, as I say, if Hull FC get back to what they've done all season, pre-Wembley, then, as I say, the forwards put the markers down, they repin and do the hard work, and, as I say, put Warrington off the game. Then I'm going for the Black and Whites, as I said earlier, I reckon the Black and Whites by about 19-12.
All depends on if Warrington have the numbers. I mean, Ben Curry, we don't know what's happened with his scan today. I'm just going to check his Twitter account to see if he's posted anything. No, he hasn't. So we don't really know what's up with Ben Curry at the moment. If they lose Hughes as well, then, yeah, that could be a bit terminal for Warrington. But if Warrington can turn up and play for 80 minutes and not somehow just throw the towel in after 65 minutes, there's no reason why Warrington can't win that game. They should have won at the Caicom on Easter Monday. They threw away a big half-time lead. They should have won at Wembley. They should have beaten Hull twice this season, but we will see.
Third time lucky, perhaps, for the Wolves. Also on their Friday, Wigan versus Catalans.
Wigan.
Walkover. Absolute walkover. And the same for the other fixes, said Tellens Wakefield. That's a walkover too. Sorry about that, Michael, but I think it will be. And yeah, the Warriors against Catalans, they'll be looking to big confidence booster, ready for 80 minutes away for the grand final the week after.
Wigan are in a funny position now, aren't they? So are St. Helens. Do St. Helens accept...
Well, St. Finish fourth.
Yeah, but do Saints accept they're going to finish fourth? And do they give Walmsley a rest? Do they give Kyle Aymore a rest? Do they give Roby a rest?
I don't think they can.
Yeah, but if you think they wanted to go full tilt on Friday, if they were going to rest some people, you thought they'd have rested them more yesterday on that pitch, because that's the reason Johnny Lomax didn't play yesterday.
Yeah, it's that pitch, yeah. But also, you know what St. Helens do on the same as Wigan as well on Friday? You know what they do? They pick the best team for 40 minutes, they rip in, get the game won in 40 minutes, then they start bringing the substitutes on. That's what they do. That would be my philosophy.
At least they've got substitutes, of course, unlike...
unlike Workington.
Which we haven't mentioned and we should do. I mean,
yeah, great effort by Workington.
How does that happen? They have 14 players and only lose by 20 points against a team who...
Well, it just shows you the commitment what the Workington players showed for the club yesterday. So they're having their problems, Workington. Huge problems. There's a meeting this week, by all accounts, just to see what the future holds for them, because they've got relegated. But, great effort by Workington yesterday.
14 men. Saturday lunchtime, it's a 12:30 kick-off on the telly for Hull Kingston Rovers versus the Huddersfield. I forgot to ask your wife about this. Because the Hull fans, this could be the 24 hours of their lives.
Super League as a competition needs both Hull clubs in it. Because
I agree with that. With that,
it is still the biggest game. It's the only city with two sides. Still the biggest derby in the competition.
So we know that. But anyway, there's no right to be there. There's no right to be there. But if the Giants were decent for 40 minutes yesterday against the Rhinos. If they can maintain that for about 65, 70 minutes, I'm taking the Giants to win. Danny Brough will get a drop goal again. A scoreline of 19-12 to Huddersfield on Saturday.
Home advantage counts for me, and I think that'll just weigh in favour of.
But that'll be a great atmosphere. There'll be a good crowd at Oakey on Saturday.
There'll be
a good crowd. Yeah. There will. It should be a good game as well.
Which team can the Super League do without of the three?
Salford.
On Sunday. Well,
maybe Huddersfield as well, because they don't really have good crowds, do they?
Well, you've got to say Salford, Matt.
There's a good case for Huddersfield as well.
At this moment in time.
That's promotion and relegation for you. Not licensing, that's gone. Sunday, live on Radio Yorkshire, 3:30 kick-off, as is their want to do, Castleford versus Widnes.
Yeah, big finish from Cass. They'll be Wigan and Hammer Catalan, so Cass win. They'll go fifth. Daryl Powell will be saying, thanks very much, put a marker down for next year. Cass to beat Widnes by 30.
Yeah, Kevin Brown gets banned tomorrow night, then yeah, definitely, you've got a fancy Cass.
48-20 or something ridiculous.
Well, it was a high-scoring game when the teams met earlier on that Thursday night, wasn't it? So, the night when they ridiculously made one of the coaches do the post-match thing with Sky and he walked in the press conference at, like, 11:25.
It's always good. Mm. The qualifiers, Batley versus Salford and London versus Featherstone.
I'm going Batley to beat a mess of a club in Salford and I'm going for London to do a job on Featherstone. Yeah, I'm going for London to beat Featherstone.
Imagine that.
I'm going London, but I just think Salford will probably have a little bit too much for Battle. They should do, but
imagine if it happens. And in the Championship Shield semi-finals.
Are we interested? But anyway.
Bradford and Halifax.
Yeah, Bradford will beat Dewsbury. Yeah, but having said that, Dewsbury, what, about 7-8 weeks ago, went there and did a good job on the Bradford Bulls. So don't run out Dewsbury. My son tells me they've got something up the sleeve. I don't know what that will be, to be honest with you.
Is it the Hemel Stats? Have they signed all those Stags? I won't play that. If you're listening, don't play the Stags.
They've got some players on the Stags that are coming out of the sleeves, but yeah, you've got to go for the Bulls Halifax, simple as that.
Well, it's going to be exciting. Another week of rugby league is done as we head towards, and actually the end of the season will soon be here. And we'll all be sad on a Monday night because we won't be able to see talk rugby league.
Are we carrying our Monday shows when the Four Nations are on? Why not? We could talk about
international rugby league.
We will still be here on a Monday night doing some kind of sports-based related programme. So we're more than welcome to come in on a Monday night. That's more than welcome. So if you've got any opinions on snooker or
NFL,
darts, golf, football,
foreign football,
not rugby union, though. We can talk about
Yorkshire Carnegie.
Yorkshire,
who won again at the weekend, by the way?
Are they going to win the?
No. London Irish, I would think. Yeah.
That's our rugby union coverage here. Gary Schofield, thank you very much.
Pleasure's always, Rich.
Are you at Hull on Friday?
Yes, I'm at Hull on Friday, then I'm doing the Cass Witness game as well. So, yeah, come on the black and whites. Get the trophy for the first time and 80 minutes away from the grand final.
Matt, I'll see you at Hull on Friday.
Yep, I'll see you at Cass on Sunday. And I'll see you at Leeds on Thursday.
We're all at Hull. Join us on Thursday. Leeds versus Lee, the first of the weekend.